DW.
US President Trump is threatening to withdraw from the Paris Agreement, which aims to limit global temperature rise to a maximum of 2 degrees centigrade, preferably 1.5, and take the world on the road to a low-carbon economy. This week saw the start of a round of UN climate talks here in Bonn, Germany, the headquarters of the UN Climate Secretariat. The shadow of the Trump threat looms large over the gathering, but the delegates and observers refuse to be blown off course by adverse winds coming across the Atlantic. I met up with Paula Caballero, Global Director of the Climate Programme at the Washington-based World Resources Institute, who's in Bonn for the meeting. First, I asked her how she viewed the uncertainty over the course of the US administration and how it might affect the UN talks.
Everybody's monitoring the situation with great concern, but we all feel that it would be an error for the U.S. to pull out of the Paris Agreement. It will erode its international standing, in not just in the international climate diplomacy arena, but also on trade and other issues. Withdrawing from Paris would really signal that the U.S. is not living up to its commitments. The other important aspect is that it is in the U.S.'s enlightened self-national interest to stay within the Paris Agreement. Paris Agreement is a way of encouraging a transition to clean, low-carbon economies. That means jobs, that means continued economic growth, that means incentives for innovation. From a security perspective, the U.S. Defense Department has itself stated that climate change is a threat multiplier. So regardless of the angle that you're looking at it from, it makes sense to stay in Paris for the U.S.
But so far that message doesn't seem to have reached President Trump. What has to happen to change that?
I think the message is reaching President Trump because the decision has not been made. So clearly, as we have been learning, there's different forces within the administration that have very different perspectives. He's a businessman. There's a strong business case for staying in Paris.
What impact would it have on the Paris process if the US did withdraw?
Look, if the United States withdraws, obviously it will have an impact on the negotiations. There's no question. But it's not the end of the negotiations. We have to be clear about that. Even in Marrakesh, the elections were right at the beginning of that conference of the parties, the so-called COP22. And yet countries continued on a stage to sign up to the Paris Agreement. And we saw that, for example, the Climate Vulnerable Forum, this is a group of almost 50 of the most vulnerable nations in the world, saying that they're going to go 100% renewable. So there's incredible will within the negotiations to move this forward. And in a way, it might go forward even more strongly, because what we're seeing here is really what you can call distributed network of leadership arising. Very strong statements from President Xi, very strong commitments from India, very strong signals from countries around the world, really saying that they're going to deliver on climate change because it makes sense for them to keep their development trajectories, their economic growth on track.
But a country like Australia, for instance, is considering pulling out of the Paris Agreement if the USA does so. Could there not be a sort of knock-on effect with other countries saying if the USA isn't going to pull its weight, then we're out too?
Look, the countries that are not fully 100% committed to Paris might indeed take a signal from the US. But it is not, I think, in their interest. And I think that down the line, governments that take decisions such as this will really have to respond to the calls from their electorate, from constituencies that are seeing the impacts. There is a strong public opinion in Australia against decisions related to coal, against decisions that are going to undo a lot of the work that has been taking place in Australia to help it live up to its commitments, and a lot of global concern about what this will mean for example, ecosystems like the Great Barrier Reef. So Australia, like the US, needs to understand that these are not decisions that are taken in isolation and do not have repercussions on the global stage. And history, we're on the right side of history. I always want to ask President Trump and others, is this really what you want your legacy to be? Because regardless of anything else you do, down the march of time, down the decades, what you will be remembered for was when there was that golden moment to really do something about climate change, that golden window to turn the clock around. You did not. And they will answer to all history and all coming generations for that.
But Given that the USA is one of the world's biggest emitters of greenhouse gases, it's one of the key players. Isn't it dangerous to downplay this Trump effect?
No, it's not. And I'm not in any way seeking to downplay the Trump effect. But I'm just saying that the Trump effect is not a terminal effect.
If the US stays in the agreement, isn't it possible that they could weaken it?
Look, I'm an ex-climate negotiator. There's always efforts by different parties to advance different interests in the negotiations. So obviously, if the US is not coming in with a constructive spirit, this will have an impact on the negotiations. But similarly, we have had, and I don't want to call out countries, in past negotiations, other countries that have had difficult positions. And I would say that the end result has been that we've come out with a strengthened position. For the last 3 years, there's been an effective decoupling. Global emissions have come down while the economy has grown, even in the US. And in Europe is a very clear example of the fact that you definitely can grow while very decisively downscaling your emissions.
Now, we're still very far away from reaching that 2 degree or 1.5 target. How do you see our position now, and what has to happen for us to make it in time?
Look, people have to understand the urgency. Companies have to understand the urgency. Governments have to understand the urgency. I am delighted that you ask that question. So many think that just because we have Paris and that there's, you know, movement in the right direction, we're there. We have got to peak by 2020. If not, it doesn't mean that we will not be able to reach it. We can do. But each time it becomes progressively harder, progressively more expensive. But we need very great political leadership. We need extraordinary innovation and decisiveness on the part of the private sector. We need for scientists, for students, for mothers, for fathers, for everybody to demand decisive action from their governments. Why are not parents taking to the streets demanding that they have an inhabitable world for their children? Why aren't we stepping up more, helping to ensure that that message of urgent action is something that reverberates in the homes across countries, in the public sector offices, and in the business and in the board meetings? Urgency is the name of the game right now.
DW.